is people thinking that they are righteous because they don't eat BLTs. Okay? Don't eat no P.I.G. hog. Okay? That's what he's trying to say. He's not against the Torah. All right? What he's trying to tell them is the Torah can't save you. Amen. Only repentance in the blood of Jesus. So now he goes on, he says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the Torah, but also to those who are faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, when he says not only to those who are of the law, he's talking about Jews. Okay, the Jewish people of his day. And he says, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now he's talking about Gentiles, you and I. We come to the saving knowledge of Jesus through faith.
Amen.
Amen. Then he says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. What was accounted for righteousness? The fact that Abraham was fully convinced that God would do what he promised.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And therefore, Abraham was faithful to God. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what's that mean? Having been justified by faith. You actually have been justified by the faithfulness of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen? I like to say it this way. You know, because Adam sinned, how come I got to pay for Adam's sin? Was that really fair? Adam sins, so death reigns over all mankind. That just really don't seem fair. However, it don't really seem fair for Jesus to die for the sins that I committed.
Amen.
Because he was without sin.
Amen.
But he did it anyway.
Amen.
So a better way to read this is, you've been justified by the faithfulness of Jesus.
Amen.
Remember, I talked about that love. What kind of love endures the cross at Calvary? He was faithful to God's plan and purpose. Now he says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Hallelujah. And you've heard me say 100 times, when Paul talks about the glory of God, his imagery is that tabernacle in the wilderness that had that pillar of cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night. That represented God's presence in the midst of his people.
Amen.
Amen. And now in Bernie is the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
The presence of God.
Hallelujah.
Dwelling in him. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
Amen.
Not because it's burning. Just hard to believe that God would want to dwell in any of us.
Yeah.
But remember, he has a desire for the work of his hands.
Amen.
Now we're going to close. Turn to Genesis 22. I want to show you something. Genesis 22. I got confidence in you. It's page 33. Now, Paul has, I just read you Paul in chapter 4 of Romans, where where it says Abraham hoped against hope. You know, how many of you bought a lottery ticket when it was $800 million? Okay, I did. I don't recommend it, but I did. I just figured, hey, go give it to somebody. Okay? You know, and by the way, I didn't have one number right. Not one. So I think that was the message for me. Okay? Not one. But see, we have a hope, a natural hope, that's really more wishing. You know, when somebody says, oh, I hope so. See, like today, I'm really hopeful, Jackie, that the Cleveland Browns just beat the Baltimore Ravens from one end of that field to the other. Okay? But how many of you know that's really just wishing, Pastor? That's being an optimist, all right? Okay, it's wishing. I'm wishing. Yeah. That's wishing. Okay. All right, wait a minute. We're not going to be on ESPN. Let me finish, okay? Let me finish. But Abraham used his hope against hope, Paul said. Against wishing, he uses his hope. What's that? His trust in God. He didn't consider the fact that Sarah was almost 100 years old. And her womb had dried up. However, God renewed it, did he not? Did he not? Abraham trusted in God. See, we need to trust in God and allow God to do the work. Amen. When you're praying for Cheryl or you're praying for Teresa, we need to pray, God, she's waiting on you. Renew her body. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Renew Cheryl's body. So, Abraham wasn't wishing. He was trusting. And I imagine when the old boy got back to camp, he had a little twinkle in his eye. What do you think? Huh? Think he might have? Sarah probably said, oh, act your age. But there was a spark in her too. Amen. And she had Isaac. And how many know Abraham loved Isaac? Amen. Now watch this. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. Verse 1. And said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Now I want you to pause right now. Shut your eyes for a minute. Shut your eyes. I want you to think, what is it you love the most? What is it you love the most? Or who is it you love the most? Now, God's speaking to you, and whatever that is that you love the most, God is speaking to you saying, hey, I want you to take that thing or that person, and I want you to go to Mount Moriah. All right, open your eyes. We're going to verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off, and Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Now, I don't really think Abraham being a man, I don't really think it took as much trust to go sleep with his wife as it's taking right now. Because God has asked for the thing he loved the most. Verse 9. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there, placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham took a cord and bound Isaac. But the whole time he's binding Isaac, he's still waiting on God. He's still trusting in God. Because he knew that God had told him that Isaac was the seed of promise. Amen. And it would be through Isaac that God would make a nation. Amen? Amen? Let me keep going. Verse 10, and Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. In Hebrew, Abraham learned that God now was Yahweh Jireh, or we transliterate in English, Jehovah Jireh, okay? The Lord that provides. But did you know that God doesn't just provide, he looks ahead. Amen. He's out ahead of you to provide for you. Yes. Amen. However, as God's people, and I'm going to say something to you this morning. I hadn't planned on saying this. Matter of fact, I'm just getting it fresh from heaven right now. As God's people, much has been given to you. Amen. Has it not? Amen. Much has been given to us. Yes. Now you can look around and say, well, we got a lot of empty seats. Let me tell you something. It's not about the people here. I'll tell you about this little church. I'm going to brag on it for a little bit. You have more revelation here in this little church with all the teaching that goes on. Not just me, but Bernie and Carolyn and everybody else. Teresa that's been taught. Let me tell you something. We've had a lot given to us. Amen. Because I can look in here and I can see lives that have been changed and renewed by the power of God. Amen. So much has been given to us. Much is required. So that thing that you thought about when you closed your eyes, that you love the most, would you be willing to give that to God? Would you? Because I believe with all my heart that God is searching for people that are willing to give the things they love the most to him in order that he might move them into a deeper revelation of who he is. Amen? And when we move into a deeper revelation of who he is, the empty seats will take care of themselves. Because word will spread. Hey, you know what we can say about those folks down at Church of the King? They know God. Amen. They know God. You need somebody to pray for you, you need to get one of them. Now, I'm not being braggadocious. I'm being serious here this morning. But you know what? We got to quit playing with God. We got to quit making God our sugar daddy. He's not a sugar daddy. He's not there. He's not. You don't use faith to manipulate or tell God what he's going to do. You with me?
Amen.
I just ask you, are you willing? Would you be willing to give what you love the most to God in order that you could walk in more revelation of him? All I'm saying is Abraham was. Now notice what, and I know that some of you in here, there are needs in here. There are financial needs in here. There's emotional needs in this building. There's physical needs in this building. But did you notice that when Abraham was willing to give that thing he loved the most, that God became his provider?
Amen.
I don't know what you're needing this morning, but if you say, you know, Lord, I'm just going to give up that TV I watch 6, 7, 8 hours a day and just spend more time with you.
Amen.
You know, he'll supply that need. Amen. But I believe God's looking for a people that are willing to sacrifice for him.
Amen.
Amen. Willing to give up some sleep to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. You know, I've been there. God wakes you up at 3:30, 4 o'clock. I've been there. And I rolled right back over and went to sleep a few times. None of you ever done that. And I missed the blessing. And one day, God was trying to wake me up to pray. And I really don't want to say what I was dreaming, but he woke me up. I went back to sleep. And I dreamed something happened to somebody that I dearly love. But I was on my knees just in a heartbeat then. So God's looking for people that are willing to sacrifice for his glory.
Amen.
Amen. And you know what? I read that this week. It's not my original. Hopelessness is a lie. And when I think about this opioid epidemic, did I say that right, Lucy?
Yeah.
And I think about these people, and my little doctor, she said, you know, they're just hopeless. You know, they don't have a life. Hopelessness is a lie. That's just what the devil wants them to believe.
Yeah.
And you and I have an answer. And we need to be quick to give people an answer. Amen. And that answer is Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Don't just lock yourself up in the house and avoid people. You've got the answer. You want the seats full? Give them the answer. Amen.
Amen.
Tell them what they need to hear. You know, I made up my mind about 3 years ago. Next stupid thing I heard about God, I wasn't going to let it go by. It got me in trouble a couple times, but I've done some good a couple times too. Okay? It's all in the attitude and the delivery. Right, Aunt Diane, Aunt Helen, Aunt Irma, my mom. Sometimes us whites, we'll say things. We're not really mad, but it's the tone we use. I'm sure my tone wasn't the best it should have been to that operator yesterday. But you know what? God's looking for a people. God's looking for a people that are willing to sacrifice for him. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bernie, won't you and John help me this morning? Hallelujah. How great is our God. Hallelujah. Father, we love you, we praise you, we magnify you, we thank you, Lord, for the faith and the faithfulness of Abraham. But also, Lord, we thank you even more for the faithfulness of Yeshua, our Messiah, and his faithfulness at Calvary. And on the night that Jesus was betrayed, the Bible says, the Bible says that he took bread and broke it, and he said, "This is my body." And you know, the Word of God says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And Lord Jesus, this morning, with thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, in remembrance of you that you are still the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, that you are still the immerser or baptizer in the Holy Spirit, that you are right now our high priest interceding for us, and that you are our soon coming King. With thanksgiving in our hearts and remembrance of you, we take and eat of your body this morning. Hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. Hold your cup up. You ready on three? One, two, three. L'chaim, to life. Amen. And this cup represents the blood of Jesus. The Bible says that life is in the blood. And he poured out his life at Calvary so we could have that life. But this cup also represents that fourth cup. That cup at that betrothal process. The one in which the bride drank out of, but the groom didn't drink out of. He wouldn't drink of that cup until after the wedding. But the bride drank it, and it symbolized her faithfulness to her bridegroom until he comes. Lord Jesus, as a symbol of our faithfulness to you, until you come, we drink of your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Stand up for a minute. I have a praise report I want to give you. Glory, glory, glory to God. You had an interesting situation this week. Somebody dropped their ring. I hired a guy and started training him on Monday. By Thursday, I knew he wasn't going to make it. You know, our trucks don't go up and down the highway much. They go into the mountains and up hills and down hills, and they're loaded with flammable liquid. Some of it's like really flammable. And I knew that by some of the things he did, he was putting his own life at risk and the lives of others and everybody's livelihood. So on Friday, I had to fire him. And you know, you don't ever want to do that. I mean, a guy quit a job to come to work for us, and he just wasn't working out. But here's the praise report. I was going out the door, and my mom said, "Are you going to fire him today?" I said, "I have to. I don't have no choice." She said, "Well, come here. I want to pray with you." You know, the Bible says, where two shall agree is touching anything, God will do it for them. And so I had a peace when I went down there. And I wrote a nice letter for him, you know. And he came in and we sat down. I went through all the things, you know, that he had done. And I said, "I got to let you go." And he thanked me. He thanked me. He shook my hand. He said, "Hey, I want to stay friends." I gave him 2 weeks' pay and a nice letter. And he called me last night. He said, "Hey, I got my old job back. I just wanted you to know. I could tell it was weighing on your heart." I said, "Praise God." He said, "I want to buy you lunch one of these days." "Are you serious?" "I fired you, dude." I mean, you talk about the grace and mercy of God, you know. And so I was cool. That was really cool. And only God can do something like that. Amen. I'm going to pray for you and loose you and let you go. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. We thank you, Lord, that we have a great hope in you. That our lives are bound to you, Lord God. And Father, I just